passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
And we welcome you back. The second half of the show is live. We'll talk to Griff in a couple of minutes about the big game in Jacksonville. We had Keith's farewell earlier, remember that? Apparently Larry did run Keith off. Keith has quit the show after Larry threatened him. Larry, good afternoon. Larry? Did Larry die?
You know, I don't see the boy get hurt out there on me. I don't want to hurt nobody. I'm one bad, bad man. Woo.
Well, we're Keith's a good man. We're sorry he had to, you ran him off, but
I know.
Them's the breaks, as they used to say.
Name. That boy ain't even got a wrestling name. You got to have a wrestling name. What would be your wrestling name, Paul? Paul the Ball?
Ha ha. What is yours, Larry?
The mayor. That's me, baby. With the gavel. I have the gavel, baby. I slam on it. Hey, that's me. I'm going to tell you, I've been working out. You know what I did one time? I'm riding down the road at Center Point, and I see this car in front of a pawn shop. It said Auburn all over it. $50 or $15 or something to hit it with a sledgehammer. Well, I come back the next day with two big Bud Lights and got out, and I asked the guy, I said, you going to video it? Yeah, man. I said, okay. So I took them Bud Lights and smashed them on my head like Stone Cold and poured them in my mouth, you know. And then I took that sledgehammer and I put that car in disability, Jack. Woo! I beat the crap out of that car. I was so mad at Auburn anyway, you know. Boom, boom, I was knocking windshields out. Man, and they put it on some YouTube or something. I don't remember. But I loved that day, boy. Would you do anything like it?
If I had to, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you would. That'd be cool. I wish you would. That's what you need to break out, Paul. You need to break bad on somebody's ass around there. Just get slam them to the floor.
See, Larry, I'm for the most part, you know, fairly mentally stable. I don't need to be doing things like that.
You ain't got nothing to do with that. Helps you get mentally stable. You release your energy. Release. You know, woof. You know what I'm saying? I'll arm wrestle him if he wants to.
Well, Larry, I've already told you don't want to mess with Keith, but we're kind of done. He quit.
Right.
He's out of here. It doesn't matter. You won. It's all about Larry the mayor.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I bring my little dog Jack in the ring with me. He's a badass. Little bitty Jack Russell. He bite him on the Goonies and then had to count to three and let go, you know. I tell you, it's fun. I love wrestling. You know that. But football is the key right now with me. Right now, when we played Tennessee, Paul, I almost went into sheer comatose. I almost went into a hysterical.
So how were you feeling at 20-7?
I was almost in a comatose. I was wondering if my homeowners was going to cover me.
You're in a comatose? How do you get into a comatose?
And stuff. I mean, I was shaking. I was so bad. Yeah, man, I couldn't stand it with love. I don't know what I'd get.
How do you think you would have handled the loss, Larry?
I would have went to the Coosa River Bridge and jumped off in the river. I would have.
Now, Larry, we don't need to do that over a football game.
It ain't just a football game, Paul. It's the Seagull football game. It's Tennessee. It's tradition.
Okay, survived Tennessee, Larry. We're still a week and 2 days away from the other game.
I know, my man.
You're not. Something tells me you're not real confident about the LSU game.
Yes, and I went to Coors Light. I quit Bud Light. I went to Coors Light.
Now, Larry, if I put two beers in front of you in a mug, could you tell me which one is Coors and which one's Bud?
Yes, sir. I can sniff it and tell you. I can do a sniff and tell you, just like a woman's perfume.
Oh, my goodness.
You can tell whether a woman's sexy or not when you sniff behind that ear like that.
Larry, I don't advise you walking into a bar and you know, acting like a dog and start sniffing behind people's ears.
I didn't say people. I said women. Now, knock that off. I said women's ears.
Here comes Larry.
I'm talking about
Larry, you tried that with some of the women I know, and you'd end up cold cocked.
Oh, be careful. Be careful, Paul.
That's why I said that.
You know, this is a family program.
Okay. Larry, when was the last time you walked into some place and did that sniff test?
Well, if you get in a bar and it's real crowded, like down on 280, and you get up in a bar and the women be standing there because there's nowhere to sit.
Yeah.
And so you just ease up behind them and so, oh, man, I give you a warm rush.
Larry, from that moment, whether or not
what?
Well, I'm not sure how to. Oh, hold on a second, Larry. Can you put that camera back on me for a second? Larry, guess who showed up?
What's up, Larry?
Hey, who's this? Hello?
I can't hear him. So.
I will translate. He said, "Who is this?"
I thought we were supposed to have a match, Larry. How you gonna say who's this?
This is Keith.
Don't be scared.
Keith?
Walking over, but you slip it back.
Keith?
Walking over, but you slip it back. Come on, Larry.
See, you come back, you big chicken.
He said, you big chicken.
I just let you do a arm wrestle first. Show you how bad I whooped that ass.
All right, okay? Come on.
When I slam you almost through the table, brother, you'll be going, ah, hell no, I don't want none of that. That's what Big Ten
come on,
John
come
did.
Come on, Larry. You can probably drink me through the table, but that's about it.
Hold on, I'm going to get out of the way.
What you got in your hand there, your weapon? Weapon you're going?
Yeah,
we'll
translate.
Hey, come on, Jack. Well, why are you hiding? Set a date up. I can't hear you. What's wrong?
You can't hear me, Larry. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Do that again. Do your head like that again. That's sideways. Do your head sideways like you did. Do it. Come on, man. That's how I'll be when I hit you in the head. That's why your head will be going. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Come on, I want to hit you in the head too, Larry. Come on.
Come on, brother. Put it up there. I got mine up here. Come on.
You know what?
Get locked it in.
You know what, Larry?
Come
it's
on, buddy.
That ain't worth my time. Paul, take this.
Lock it in. Come on. Come on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back. It's Thursday, of course. You know what that means. Griff time. Mike Griffith's joining us on the eve of the eve of the game down in Jacksonville. Mike, let's get started with the week for Georgia as they get ready to take on Florida. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing okay. So what about it?
Big game. I mean, it's a tough stretch for Georgia coming up. These next four games, it's prove-it time for Georgia. Everybody's poked at their schedule. You take a look at it, it is the weakest-ranked schedule of all the Power 5 teams that are ranked in the top 25. I think only Air Force, per the Sagarin ratings, has a weaker schedule. And now you're going to get to see. You're going to find out just what Georgia football is all about, and you're going to get to find out what it's all about without their best football player, Brock Bowers. So prove-it time for Georgia against a Florida team that's got a ton of momentum. It's playing about 70 miles away from home. And it would be a very well-rested football team that Billy Napier puts on the field.
We talk about Florida having a lot of momentum, and I agree, but what are they beaten, what, Vanderbilt and South Carolina?
Yeah, well, Georgia's beaten Kentucky and who else? So, you know, neither one
not
of these
exactly,
teams
not exactly the same programs.
Well, no, but Georgia has trailed in three out of their four SEC games to teams with a combined 1-10 record. So it's not like they've just been steamrolling everybody right out of the gate. This is a team that's had some issues scoring early. Eventually they win these games, but I think Florida is going to bring a whole different level of intensity. I mean, this is a rivalry game, Paul. It's just different. I mean, let's face it, playing at Vanderbilt amid that construction and a locker room that's in a tent, I mean, that was as Bush League as anything I've seen in the SEC in 30 years. I still can't believe Vanderbilt, but forget, enough talk about Vanderbilt for a whole season there. But this is a big-time game in that atmosphere against a rival school. It's a chance for Billy Napier, if he could pull this win off. I mean, just think about the momentum. The Gators already with a top five recruiting class. Tons of money being spent to buy these players. All these assistants that have been hired. I mean, this would be such an incredible boost. And it's right there for the taking for Florida. They're going to catch a Georgia team coming off the worst game they've played in really some time across the board and without their best player.
What happens Saturday?
I think Florida's going to be able to keep it close for a while. I think Billy Napier and his team have a lot of confidence right now. I look at Graham Mertz. I mean, this is a guy that he's making his 40th start. I mean, his 40th start. Think about that. This guy's played a lot of football. Now, he's only 3-8 in games that he's played against teams that are ranked. But, you know, that was Wisconsin, having Wisconsin behind him. I mean, what does Wisconsin even have? You know, it's been a while since they've been relevant in football. You know, now he's got the mighty Florida Gators behind him. He's got Steve Spurrier believing in him. And if Coach Spurrier sees some magic in the Gators, then there must be something to it. He's usually pretty sharp at these things. On the flip side, it's a pretty salty Georgia defense. Now, granted, their schedule is a little light, but still they lead the nation in third down defense. And that's going to be key because for Florida to have any sort of chance, they're going to need to have long, sustained drives and control the clock and keep the Georgia offense off the field.
Talking to Griff, so let's move on. Not exactly a stellar week here in the SEC, but I wanted to get your takeaway on Tennessee because they do play one of the most interesting games coming off the loss in Tuscaloosa. In some ways, a loss to Kentucky would really derail them with Missouri and Georgia remaining.
Yeah, it really would, and you really want to see how this Tennessee team responds. I mean, this is a different version of Tennessee football under Josh Heupel, and again, I applaud the style of football that they're playing. I mean, you're trying to win with the talent that you have. They don't have the perimeter threats that they had a year ago, and this is a different quarterback. And so Josh Heupel is coaching what he has, and a very game effort. Now, they lost to Alabama, and there's nothing good about what happened in the second half if you're a Tennessee Vols fan. But what they did in the first half on the road, you can't forget about that. That was impressive. That really happened. That was the real Alabama out there getting their tails kicked around Bryant-Denny Stadium. I like this Tennessee team. I think they have character. I think they're tough. I think Kentucky's tough. I think this is going to be a really good football game, probably not getting enough attention. But I do like Tennessee to win this game. I think Tennessee's got what it takes. And I'm just not sure if Kentucky's quarterback is good enough to get it done against the Vols defense.
Griff, I realize most of the attention is on Jacksonville, a little bit on Knoxville. What else interests you this week in the SEC?
Well, I mean, I'm all in on the Georgia game. I'm all in on what Kirby Smart does. This is a story, again, for whatever reason, I just don't think people find Kirby Smart's story sexy enough. I mean, this team's won 24 games in a row, Paul. I mean, it's remarkable. If they win this next game, this will also be 24 straight SEC wins, which would tie what Steve Spurrier did at Florida between 1994 and 1997. And you remember those days. You were writing columns in Alabama. I mean, back then, Steve Spurrier was, you know, the next Paul Bear Bryant with his consecutive SEC championships and dominance. And Kirby's doing that in an era that's much more competitive with this whole NIL and this transfer portal. And as we've talked about before, Georgia's lost so many great players in the portal that are playing other places. If only Georgia could have kept them. Instead, they're having to do it with young talent. They're having to reload. They're down their best player now. Their best running back, Kendall Milton, has been injured all year. Although Dejon Edwards, a pretty good back, went for 100 yards last year. Ladd McConkey, their best receiver, hasn't had more than 4 catches in a game. I mean, and they're holding it all together. And I just think that's remarkable, and I just wonder how much longer Georgia can stay at number one. And I know that's not the mentality. I'm very well aware of that. I know Kirby's kept it one game at a time. I feel like this week off has been a power boost for Georgia. I heard Javon Buller talk. This is a real key player. You haven't heard his name in a while. He's been a little banged up. But when Bull, as Kirby calls him, when this Bull puts the horns to you, this guy is a difference maker. Remember, this guy was a defensive MVP in the college football playoff against Ohio State and against TCU. And if Javon Bullard is healthy, you're going to see some teeth back in this Georgia defense that you haven't seen in a while.
Okay, we talked about that. We talked about Tennessee. I don't want to just randomly ask you about things because you keep up with the league like everybody. But what else is blinking for you around the SEC right now?
Yeah, must win for Jimbo Fisher. I mean, you just can't you can't apologize for a loss to this South Carolina team. I mean, you know, Spencer Rattler and what else? I mean, the Gamecocks have just kind of fallen apart. You know, 1 minute they're up 10 points on Florida with 9-11 left and Williams-Bryce, and the next they're losing to Florida and all the momentum's gone and all the season hopes are gone and now they go to College Station. If Jimbo Fisher were to lose this game at home, it would be a death blow. So a must win, and you don't just take that with a grain of salt, Paul. I mean, the SEC's tough. South Carolina, I'm sure whatever fight they have left, they'll give them. But this is a must win for A&M. You mentioned the Tennessee-Kentucky game already. I think that's a big game in the direction of both programs. You heard some frustration from Mark Stoops earlier this year. Has he come to the realization that he's never going to win the East at Kentucky? Has he figured it out that they're never going to invest in football like they do in basketball? Could Mark Stoops be looking, you know, you just kind of wonder, what does his future look like? And what about Josh Heupel in Tennessee? You know, they need this win to get those people to keep giving money. It's such a grab bag now for money, Paul. It's a money game. And these games mean so much to get that kind of momentum right now. Get those NILs going. Get those collectives going. Get people to put money in the bucket. You're hearing every coach bring this up. And at the end of the day, you got to win. Right? You got to pay to play. And so these are really important games across the league. And, you know, Alabama's sitting back right now. Nick Saban, what a huge win. Do they not look like they're in the catbird seat? Could the Crimson Tide make the college football playoff? Could they beat Georgia in the SEC? There's a lot of these storylines. There's so much ahead. Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin better take care of business against Vandy. I'm sure they'll win. But look at this Ole Miss team right now. They look as good as anybody. And when you draw up a team to design to beat Georgia, Ole Miss has all the components. Now, that game's a few weeks away, and Florida's going to get their swipe. And then this young Nick Saban, Eli Drinkwitz, that you're buttering up these days, he's going to have his shot
in this stadium in a couple weeks. What's your beef with Eli Drinkwitz?
I don't have a beef,
well, I mean,
but I've seen it a million
times.
I've seen it a million times. You build these guys up, and then when they lose, you tear them down. And everybody's trying to turn Drink into the next Nick Saban. Look, he's won a couple of games. Let's not get carried away with Eli Drinkwitz. I was one of the first people that said, is he a genius? Is he a nerd? Is he a cool guy? He's looking pretty cool. He's looking like a genius. But let's not get carried away with the Nick Saban comparisons, Paul. I mean, even for you, that's
hey, Griff, first of all, it was a caller who called in and said he's the young Nick Saban. I never said that.
Okay. You did say he was the early candidate for SEC Coach of the Year.
Yeah. And I think he is.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, you got a guy here that's won 24 in a row.
That's fantastic.
He
started out
with
the number one team in the country. Drink was expected to win 6 or 7 games.
He started out with the number one team in the country. Do you see what's on? You got a quarterback that's making his 8th career start. Right, you couldn't even tell me who their leading receiver
is
right
now. I've been to Athens. I know because I saw you. I don't need a primer on Kirby Smart. I know who he is.
Well, let's try not turn this Georgia team though into last year's of the year.
I'm not doing anything. I was just wondering why you just kind of sideswiped Eli Drinkwitz. The guy, and you know, acting like I've created something out of cloth. I mean, I think right now he's a legitimate SEC Coach of the Year candidate.
Now, the most impressive thing he's done is lead LSU for a few quarters, and I don't even think he won that game. So let's find – I'm from the show – you know, I'm from – what do they used to say? I'm from the show me state. You got to show me. I mean, okay, they did get a ranked win over Kansas State, and at that time the SEC was desperate for any kind of out-of-conference success. But, you know, let's see what's ahead for Missouri. Now, this was a team that was beating Georgia by 10 points last year at home before – excuse me, the choke factor. They're at home before they blew that game last year. This is a team that returned more than anybody else in terms of production in the SEC and maybe top 2 or 3 in the country. Look, the table said, and I like Cook. I like what Eli's done. I just think it's dangerous to mention him in the same breath with Nick
Listen,
Saban.
Griff, it may be dangerous for you, but it's not dangerous for me. I feel pretty comfortable saying what I did about Eli Drinkwitz. What I don't like is having you put words in my mouth from a caller, but that's beside the point.
Well, I just remembered how excited you were a few weeks ago when you said he was the early candidate for SEC Coach of the Year. And I thought to myself, when is Kirby going to win a national coach? You tell me, Paul, what does Kirby Smart got? He wins all the games. You say, well, he's supposed to win all the games. But at what point did he win Coach of the Year for winning all the games? It just hasn't happened. I just don't understand the left-handed compliments. For, you know, you say he's supposed to win, but when I look at his team, the inexperience is – It's scary to me.
Listen, Griff,
you know,
I realize your job is to promote Kirby Smart. My job is to try to conduct a talk show here without this propaganda every Thursday.
Well, it's really not to promote Kirby Smart. It's to report on Kirby Smart, and it's good that somebody is doing that. I'm so glad that SEC Nation is going to be there once again. It would do such a tremendous job, I'm sure. You know, we'll have words out of the book of Tebow Friday. Tim will have some fascinating things to say, as he always does. I mean, I'm going to miss being down there. That's one of my favorite interviews. Obviously, I like seeing you in person as well. I hate that I'm not going to be at the cocktail party this year. I'm doing a little social distancing here at Sanford Stadium. But, you know, the program moves forward. We're going to find out about Georgia. I'm telling you, this Florida team is not going to go easy. You know, I don't know if you saw, but Billy Napier was talking about coaching in the Sun Belt. He got to play on different nights of the week, and so he's got a blueprint that he hasn't done at Florida, but he rolled it out during this bye week, and he feels pretty good about this blueprint.
Griff, is he showing enough energy for you right now? Because, I mean, 2 weeks ago, you were calling him low energy Billy.
I thought the energy in the fourth quarter was spectacular. I read from Graham Mertz about all the extra sleep that he's getting and how important is it to have a well-rested quarterback. And then when I read about the experience from the Sun Belt, I mean, Billy brought it up. You know, coaching in the Sun Belt, he may be on to something. You know, Steve Spurrier was the one that said, Paul, that there's two ways to be successful. He said you can do it like everybody else and work harder and longer, or you can do things different. And now you've got this Sun Belt Billy Napier who is finding a way to do things different. And he talked about this blueprint that he rolled out in the game preparation. And to make sure the Gators have an edge, he said the sword has to be – I think he said the axe has to be sharp. So Billy Napier has his team ready to go. Believe me, they are going to be very well rested and keyed up for these Georgia Bulldogs.
We're going to have to go, but I'll give you the last 30 seconds if you want to pile on poor Eli Drinkwitz anymore.
Well, I think what he's doing is fantastic. I think, again, it's a great season. I just think it's a little early to compare him to Nick Saban. I thought I saw somebody going through here, you know, sweeping the seats looking for hidden cameras or something. You know, I this Spygate thing going on with Michigan, I know they asked Kirby about it, and I think he said something to the effect that he didn't see anything in that game against Michigan that would give him any indication. So if they were spying on Georgia, they didn't do a very good job.
Mike Griffith joining us from Sanford Stadium, his normal Thursday afternoon slot. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
And we are back, and Robert is in Mississippi. Hello, Robert. Hey, Robert. Okay, how about Bo, who is up next? Hey, Bo.
Hello, Mr. Goodtree. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, I got 3 points. I'll try and make them quick. Number one, Griff stole a little bit of my thunder. He might need to take a Xanax or something like that sometime.
He may need to take more than
number
that.
Number two.
He did not sound well to me.
Maybe get on the couch and talk to somebody, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Number two, I really applaud you for your calm dignity and patience with some of these crazy people who call in. I respect that.
Thank you.
Number three, I grew up in the South, big SEC fan, and if you can't get excited right now, it's in our DNA. If you can't get excited right now, something's the matter with you. I mean, I listened on the radio when I was a kid to Wally Butts and Charlie Britt and Fran Tarkington and Johnny Majors running the single wing up there and would always get excited on Saturdays. But right now, what we have in the SEC East is unbelievable to me. I mean, Georgia's, yeah, they played, you know, to have all these victories, win two national championships, but they got a hard road to toe right now with Missouri, who's playing good, Florida, who gets up for these games, and Tennessee up in Knoxville. So my point is, It is an exciting time to be in the South, number one. And number two, I'm a big Bulldog fan. Matter of fact, my nickname is Bulldog. I'm a big Bulldog fan. And I'm just saying, I'm so excited about these games coming up. They're going to be good. They're going to be fun to watch with friends.
Great to hear from you. Thank you so much. Trey is up next. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. You know how when AC usually calls you, and when he gets ready to hang up, he says, holler, and then he hangs up on you?
Yes.
Do you think maybe—
By the way, that is always my favorite part of the call.
Oh, exactly. Well, do you think maybe you hollered at him a little too loud today with the truth and the facts? And
I don't think he took that punch in the nose very well.
Yeah, well, that tells me right there he's probably about 25 or 30. They can't handle stuff like that. But, Paul, I want to change course real quick and ask you a question because nobody has talked about it. I saw where Brandon Miller was in the wrongful death lawsuit with the other two guys that are in jail.
Right.
Well, we know they're not getting anything from the two guys that are in jail. Do you see him being held liable in any way, especially with how lenient the gun laws are here in Alabama, or do you think maybe he just settles out of court and there's not much to it? And I'll hang up and listen, and thank you. I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, I would think to be able to get much out of him would be a very narrow path. He may just say, I don't need this. You know, let's write a check and be done with it. But I can't imagine them getting really being able to pin him to very much. Thank you for the call. Keith is up next in Georgia. Hello, Keith. Keith, you there? Kevin, I'm sorry.
Oh, Kevin, yes. I'm here.
Well, good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Appreciate you taking my call. Long time listener, first time caller. Just wanted to get your feedback. I mean, a lot of the people that have called in already have pretty much answered my questions, but down the strip, without Brock, going into this weekend, and I call it the Georgia-Florida game because, I mean, they drive 45 minutes. We drive 7 hours. Thank God it's the last year of that. But how do you feel that we'll fare this weekend? And I know we can't overlook Missouri, but I'm terrified to go into Knoxville, and I know that's your alma mater, and that is the most intimidating stadium I've ever encountered.
Yeah, I think of the next four games, this is by far the easiest. And with really the games getting more difficult every week, I think Missouri is a serious challenge. I think Ole Miss is maybe a scary game just because of Ole Miss's offense. And I think you're right, the trip to Knoxville is, I mean, this is a really, I mean, there's no doubt this is the easiest of the four games.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, last year I don't think we would have beat Tennessee if we had went to Knoxville.
No, and I know, think, listen, be prepared. I've done this game a few times, and everybody will say the same thing, all the same gibberish that we heard a few minutes ago from our guest. Rivalry. Yeah. I mean, we all know this is all these games are rivalry games, but Florida does not have the manpower to beat Georgia, even though Georgia has stumbled a little bit this year. I fully expect
this. Yeah, they're shutting off way too slow.
Even without Brock Bowers, they've had plenty of time to figure that situation out. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We head to the break. A lot to do here in the remaining hour and just a few minutes, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Mary Lynn is up next in Georgia. Hello, Mary Lynn.
Hey, Paul. I called a couple of weeks ago talking about how Greg was my tennis coach.
Oh, I remember that, sure. By the way, I heard you were quite a tennis player.
Oh.
I did some snooping around Athens when I was there, and I didn't realize exactly who you were.
Oh, you did. Well, aren't you sweet? Yeah, I had a pretty good career up there. It was a lot of fun, and Greg made it all worthwhile. I hear that he's going to be on your show tomorrow. You're going to be interviewing him?
Yeah, he will. I think he'll be on pretty close to the beginning of the program, 3:15 in Jacksonville.
Well, great. Well, please tell him and Cheryl that I said hello, and hopefully I'll see him at some point soon. But anyway, I had a question. I thoroughly enjoyed your interview with John Bacon, I believe it was, yesterday. And I learned so much about all the stuff that's going on. But I had a question. Y'all didn't talk about, like, how are the players handling all this?
Well, I don't really know. They're off this week, so we haven't really heard much from the Michigan players. But my guess is, knowing college football players, they're probably not remotely concerned because they're going to school and playing football, and this really does not affect them at the moment.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I hope, you know, I would hate for them to, you know, have any, you know, I want them to think about football, even though I'm not a Michigan of course, fan. But anyway, I had one other question. Does this Michigan thing that's going on, does it have anything to do, or what will the CFP committee do? Will they have any?
Mary Lynn, that's a, you know, I'm sure Tuesday night when they meet, they'll be asked that question. My guess is, knowing how the CFP answers questions, they will simply, they'll have an answer ready to go, and I'm sure the answer will be, we only look at what we see on the football field, and as long as Michigan is eligible, that's how we will regard them. I'm willing to bet that's the answer. And I think anybody who, I mean, this story may get significantly worse. I think it will. But I don't know anyone who believes that Michigan is going to be derailed from competing this year.
Right. Well, I agree with you there. And I have one last thing. My actual, I think last time I talked to you, I said that Larry and Legion were my favorite callers, or Legend was my favorite callers. Actually, it's Cat Daddy. I love him. He's always so happy and cheerful, and I like hearing about Clemson Tom.
Well, Mary Lynn, you probably know the answer to this, but do you know why Cat Daddy is so happy?
No, I don't.
He works at a liquor store.
Oh, yes, I do. That's right. He talked about the people coming into his liquor store and telling him stories. I think that's hilarious. Well, anyway, I'm checking you off my bucket list.
Okay, well, I'll see Cheryl and Greg tomorrow, and I will definitely mention this, Mary Lynn. And by the way, everyone, have you ever worked at a store?
No.
Well, the only thing I've worked in the retail, and I've worked at restaurants. And usually you get a discount or you get it free. So I'm guessing Cat Daddy's got a free an employee discount for the hooch. And I have a feeling he sips a little bit of it before he calls us. Jet. Actually, Sam is up next. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Paul. How are you,
man? Hey, Sam. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir, man. Long time no talk, man. I've been pretty busy with work. Been missing the show, but I've been trying to catch up on Spotify, man, just to,
See
what's been going on. But, man, Oxford's missing you, Paul. When are you we've really only got one more good home game, man.
Say,
you
got
a couple of A&M games, or are you going to take the traditional route of going to Tuscaloosa, man?
I think there's a reasonably good chance we'll be there next week. I don't know what the suits think, and I'm just talking out loud, but it would be our third trip to Alabama. And that would, and some of it's circumstantial. The first week, there really wasn't, the Texas game was about the only good game on the board. Last week, it was really about the only good game on the board. And next week there will be three big games. So I would think Ole Miss is highly, in our radar, highly on our radar, I should say.
Well, we are, we're waiting for you, man.
I can't wait. I would be disappointed not to make it to Oxford at least once during the football season.
Well, we would be devastated, my man. But I feel really good about where we're currently at. I think that Dart has been able to progress a lot, you know, especially as the season has gone on. But I feel really good about our chances against Georgia, Paul, here in a couple of weeks. I know, you know, we've got to go to Athens. But, you know, a lot of Alabama fans, just for me catching up and listening, you know, to the show sparingly in the past couple of weeks. But I don't think they fear LSU as much as they should here in the next couple of weeks. I just don't see Alabama being able to put up the points consistently against LSU. But ultimately, you know, I've seen a lot of talk, and I'm trying to figure out what exactly would happen if Ole Miss is to win out. You have LSU beat Alabama, LSU then wins out, and then Alabama wins out. So we got a three-way tie.
What you do, and I think it's then head to head, and then within the division. So I'm trying to think. That's where I have no idea how that would shake out. But we are going to we'll find out.
Yeah, find out for me, Paul. I trust your expertise, man.
Okay, I hope maybe some friends of mine that understand this better than I do. But it okay. Okay, here it is. The first criteria is head-to-head, so that would be somewhat of a mix. What's the next one, Jamari? Your division record then would be next, so... And then head-to-head within the division. And then overall record against non-division. I mean, I don't know how you... you shake that out.
Yeah, that's
by the way, if it is still tied after that, then they let me decide who goes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.